I just want to deal with you with a few scriptures. I'm not going to be long. Are you in Hebrews? The coffee book of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith chapter. Coincidentally, we're going to be talking a little bit about faith today. All right? Calm our spirits, Lord. We just want to receive your word today, God. And we want to apply it to our lives and use it as power, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11, let's go to verse 6, all right? Now, you heard of this scripture before. You all know it. It's popular. And if you love to confess the word of God, this is probably one of your favorite scriptures, okay? And if you love to walk by faith, this, if not, is your favorite scripture. Hebrews 11, 6, let's read. Just follow along in your Bible. It is impossible to please God without faith, okay? Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, first of all, and second of all, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I kind of got a funny translation, but it's pretty blunt. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, first of all, and then he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So basically, one of the things that this scripture is telling me that is that no matter what you do in your life, you could be doing so much in your life, okay? You could be accomplishing a lot of things in your job, place, and especially if you believe in the Lord, if you're a believer, you can be doing mighty things for the kingdom of God, right? And you know what? It is possible to live and serve God and just love Him, but you can do it with kind of not too much faith. If you know what I'm saying, I'll explain this. It's possible to actually do all these things but not believe in God for much things, okay? Because it's one thing to live as a Christian, right? And it's one thing to live as a believer, but it's a whole other thing to be a believer, to believe God for things, to have faith for things, to have faith for things, because faith is assurance of things hoped for, right? It's believing what you haven't seen, okay? It's tricky. I don't need to have faith that those two trays that we have communion with are gold. Why? Because they're gold, right? I see them. They're tangible. But faith is not tangible. It's not something you could, I said earlier, a few months ago, you can't, you know, wrap your hands about it. It's not something you could put a leash on and feed it every day and keep it at your house and bring it out whenever you need it, right? That'd be awesome. No matter what you do, if you are not doing things out of faith, if you are not serving God out of faith, you could be, you know, you could be doing everything. You could be in a worship team. You can be in a prayer team. You can be in a praise team. You can be in the children's ministry. But if you're not moving, if you're not doing things out of faith, if you're not serving, if you're not using faith, if you're not applying it to whatever area you're in, according to the word of God, you're not pleasing God. You're not pleasing Him. It's kind of tricky, but think of it. You think, oh, we're Christians, we're believers, you know, we love God. Who cares? If you're not doing it out of faith, if you're not believing God for the next thing in your life, amen? If you're not believing God for the next thing in your relationship, if you're not believing God for the next thing in your finances even, you know, that's a big one. You're not pleasing Him. Huh. And that's true. Remember what we've been talking about the kingdom of God and Pastor been preaching? What's so dangerous about living a life and living a life kind of without faith? You can believe in God, but you don't, you know, you're not using your faith and believe in Him for things. What's so different about that? What's so wrong about that, I should say? Well, check it out. You love God, right? You have a relationship with Him, blah, blah, blah. When you believe God for something, God hears you. That's when God goes to work. He answers your call, right? He puts some things together. He lines some things up for you, if you will. Okay? When you believe in God for it, right? That's when contact, direct communication. God hears your prayer. He says, oh, you need this? Okay, I'm God. Ching, you got it. Right? So when you're not believing Him for it, it's kind of like you're walking around and you're loving God and saying, oh, God, I'm a Christian, you know, that's about it. And that's it. I don't need you to create things for me in my life. I don't need you to make things happen for me in my life. I don't need you to break through some things, break some walls in my life. Okay? I'm good the way I am. Isn't that just a big slap in the face? God, who created everything, who is the reason we are, right? has everything stored up for us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and even physical blessings too. How foolish it would be of us if we don't even use them, if we don't even ask of God, if we don't even believe of God for them. Okay? It's arrogant. It's like saying, God, you know, yeah, I believe you, but it's like, but you know what? When you're not believing God for the next big thing, or when you're not believing God for anything in your life, you're basically saying, God, I don't even think you can do it. I said that. You're not saying that, but you're thinking that, and you're living that way. You're saying, God, I don't even think you can do it, so I'm not even going to believe for it. You heard me right? I don't think you can do it, so I'm just not going to believe you for it. Okay? Now that's a slap in the face, if you will. So you see, it's important. Everything we do must be out of faith. Why? Because if it's not out of faith, it's not pleasing to God. You can have the best sacrifice. Your life could be just a living sacrifice, but if you don't have a little faith in it, if you're not living it by faith, I said living it by faith, you are not pleasing God. God will not be pleased. Okay? Are you with me so far? Hey man, let's keep rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Jesus is a perfect example of faith in living a life of faith. Because Jesus is all in all. He's got everything. Okay? Jesus' life, what was his life? All Jesus did was walk by faith, didn't he? Because what did he do for fun? I mean, he was casting out demons for fun. He was feeding 5,000 women and men and children for fun. Okay? He was healing people of leprosy. He was, you know, healing people, blind people, and he was raising them up. Paralyzed people were coming to him in beds, and he just looked at them and said, boy, get your butt up. Walk around and go testify of this, that God is doing things in your life. He was doing that for fun. How was he able to do those things? All those things that he accomplished, all those things were activated by his faith. Okay, Jesus had he had perfect faith because he's the perfect being, right? We're not perfect. We sin. We mess up all the time. But Jesus was the perfect. So look, just look at his life. Think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. What is it about? It's about Jesus walking in faith, isn't it? It's about Jesus speaking faith, isn't it? It's about Jesus teaching the disciples, pouring into disciples. And you know, kind of funny, you know what one thing really bugged Jesus? It just really ticked him off. What happened when the demon-possessed guys come to the Jesus' disciples, and the disciples just flunked. Thank you. Jesus was like, man, how much longer do I have to be with you guys? Ye of little faith. I wonder how many times that's written in the Bible. Or why do you have so little faith? The more modern translation. He said that all the time. It bugged him. Come on, guys. Hello. Slap a little faith on it. You can do all things. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do crazy things. And you see, that really got to him because Jesus was with the disciples. He was training them. He was imparting into them, and they still weren't getting it. And they're not perfect. So, you know, we're not perfect too. So it might take us a while. So don't feel bad. But I just want to use that as an example that was one of the things that really ticked Jesus off. He said, you guys make it so complicated, basically. I'm just paraphrasing. He's like, why do you guys make it complicated? Just believe. And that boy's going to get up and walk. Or that demon's going to flee. Confess it. Take authority of it. Cast him out in my name. He's gone. He can't stand up to the name of Jesus. Nothing stands up to the name of Jesus. I wish we used the name of Jesus more in our lives. I wish we confessed the name of Jesus over things more in our lives. I tell you right now, I don't even do it enough, and I don't know what I'm preaching. Jesus was before the foundation of the earth, and look at this. Remember before he even started his ministry, what happened? He was baptized, and when he was baptized, what happened in the water when he was baptized? John said he saw a dove, spirit of God in the form of a dove ascending on him, and he heard the words, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. My translation. Jesus didn't do anything and God was already pleasing him. Now how does that work? Jesus didn't even do any miracles and God was already pleased with him. Can somebody explain that to me? Because that just kind of trips me up. You know what I'm saying? I stumble upon that sometimes. This is before his ministry and God said, I'm pleasing him. Because Jesus growing up, he had all faith. He was a perfect being. He already did it. He knew where he was going. He knew he was going to the cross. And Jesus knew it so bad that he just lived it out. His life was a life of faith. Because he already knew it. To him, it was already done. Done deal. Boom. Sealed. No argument. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, guys, it's so important. You can do so much things, but if you're not doing it out of faith, God isn't really pleased. And don't downplay that. Oh, God isn't pleased. So what? Our human nature is to please people. And when we're not pleasing some of the closest people around us, we probably feel bad, don't we? Because it's in our nature to just to please our closest friends or people around us. We want to please them. We want to be pleasing. I want to be pleasing to my wife. All the time. I'm sure she wants to be pleasing to me too. It's in our nature. Relate this with God. These are horizontal relationships. Do this with God. Am I pleasing God? Am I walking in faith? Am I pleasing God? Am I pleasing God? Wake up. God, am I pleasing you? When you go to bed, when you pray at night, God, did I please you today? Sorry, Lord, if I didn't. Okay? Check yourself. Amen. You know what? Why can't we just be like kids? It's a blunt statement, very short and to the point, but why can't we just be like kids sometimes? Now, I'm accused of being a kid all the time. I'm accused of being a kid too much, right? But you know what? I don't care what they say about me. I kind of like the way kids go about it. Jesus was talking about this in the Bible in Matthew. Wrote it down right here. It's Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. It's when Jesus was blessing the kids. Remember? The kids were coming up to him to get blessed, and disciples were kicking them out. Oh, scatter, you little punks. Get away. We don't need you here. And Jesus said, hold on. What are you doing? Let them come to me. I want to bless them. Because the kingdom of God is theirs. They have the kingdom of God. And you know what? You can look at it different ways, but I'm going to take it from this angle. You notice something about kids? You know this, especially those parents out here, if you have kids, okay? And you don't even have to be a parent. If you got a little nieces and nephews that are, you know, old enough to kind of understand some things, 4 or 5, you tell them anything, they believe you. Isn't that the truth? You tell them anything, they believe you. You know, daddy's going to get you a pony. Oh, really? Wow, I love you, Dad. Isn't that the truth, though? You tell those little guys anything and they believe you. We're going to go get some ice cream today. Or you're going to grow up and you're going to be a princess. So you're going to live in a castle. And that's foolish stuff. That's right. That's foolish talk. But they believe you. Why? Because they're kids. Their faith is high. And when you grow up, it seems like your faith goes down for some reason. Because crap happens to you, if you will. Sorry. Pardon my French. Okay? But that stuff happens to you, and then it punches your faith. It starts chipping away at your faith, and the older you get, it seems like your faith goes down. You tell a kid anything, he'll believe you. You're gonna be a millionaire when you grow up, son. Oh, wow. I'm gonna be a billionaire. And they go nuts about it, because they believe it, right? Why can't we just be like those darn kids? Why can't we have faith like that? You tell a growing up, oh, you know, I know it's hard right now, but, you know, and maybe you need a car right now, but God's going to get you that car. You're going to get a car in your life so you can drive around, so you don't have to walk around Sioux Falls all the time. Oh, you know, yeah, God this, God that. Don't tell me that. You know, look at me. I got holes in my shoes. Don't tell me God is going to get me a car. Sorry, kind of sound mean right now when we'd be better off just shutting up and listening and believing what God is going to do instead of thinking about it. And we get so skeptical. People are so skeptical, right? As we grow up, everything is, I don't know about that. I don't check it out. I love kids. I believe one of the brothers mentioned this morning. Now, Jesus' life, remember, he was walking by faith. His life was an illustration of faith. He did, he spoke, he confessed, he blessed, he healed, he cast it out. All those, what do they all have in common? They're spoken. That's when I said earlier, faith involves confession. Okay? You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't speak it out, it's nothing. Because remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you have all that power stored up in you, maybe, even if you have a little, and you're not confessing it, nothing's happening in your life, buddy. I'm sorry. You gotta confess it. You gotta confess to one another. Tell your kids. All you married people out there, tell your spouses, hey, we're all right. We're believing God for this. God is going to do this in our life. We believe him for it. Okay? Romans 10:17. What does Romans 10:17 say? It says faith comes through what? Faith comes through hearing. Oh. So that means if faith comes through hearing, that means somebody's got to be speaking it, right? Somebody's got to be speaking it if faith comes through hearing. And Mike, remember Mike, you talked last Sunday about like the music and stuff, I guess in particular that we let in our lives that we received. Remember that? That's glad that you, it's not a coincidence that he spoke on that last time. Because what kind of junk are we letting in? What kind of junk are we letting into our lives? What kind of junk are we letting into our households these days? Boy, there's plenty of junk on TV. There's plenty of junk on computer. Don't get me started. What kind of faith are we letting into our families, our households? Are we letting in this demonic faith that's not of God? This worldly faith, if you will? Or are we letting in the faith of God? What are you listening to? Mike even said, what kind of music are you listening to? Is the music that you listen to telling you that you're broke and you're depressed and your girl left you or something? Or is the music you lifting you uplifting and it's building you up? Amen. Faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of God. I just want to use an example. Pastor Tanya said this Wednesday night when we were setting up. Remember, I was here till like 1 o'clock, so we were tired. And this was about 9 o'clock. I said, boy, Pastor Tanya, the rate that this is going, we're going to be here till like 3, 4 o'clock. And Pastor Tanya's like, boy, don't say that. Shut up. Don't confess that. Because she understands the power of confession. Okay? She says, you're speaking negative right now. I don't want to hear that junk. And she said a little phrase that we kind of made up. Pastor Tanya told me, she's like, Andre, you better change your spirit or I don't want to hear it. She said, change your spirit or I don't want to hear it. When she left to Seattle, she's like, well, you better put my name behind that. So, you know, she gets her honor due where her honor is due. So that was her. She said, change your spirit or I don't want to hear it. And I like that. I'm going to coin that for my life. So when I'm getting something negative told by somebody, I said, change your spirit. I don't want to hear it. When someone's speaking destruction into your life and lack, guys, people speak lack over you. People speak lack over your finances and you know, they speak depression over you. Depression is a force. Did you know that? Depression is a force. Love is a force. When you say, I love you, ah, oh, I feel your love. Change your spirit, I don't want to hear it. Adapt that. Take it. It's free. Pastor Tanya said it's free. She's not going to charge anybody. I love it. I think it's kind of catchy. Something negative, when someone's speaking negative into your life, say, change your spirit, I don't want to hear it. Okay? Amen. And I was rebuked, but I'm like, that's cool. God revealed this little thing to me. Just catch this in your spirit, if you will. Now listen to this little statement that God gave me. You can live a life of faith, expecting the next good thing to happen to you, or live a life in fear of the next bad thing that could happen to you. Let me say it again. You can live a life of faith expecting the next good thing to happen to you, or live a life in fear of the next bad thing that could happen to you. Amen to that? You can live in expecting good things, or you can live in fear of the bad things that could happen to you. Bad things don't have to happen to us, and they will. Boy, they sure will. Are you firm? Is your foundation on the rock, Jesus, where you're not going to be moved? Amen. Can we make it a personal goal? I see, after this, God has been dealing to me, you know, this month particularly about trusting him and through hard times and believing him, you know. Can we make an agreement today that we're going to actually walk by faith and not just hear the preachers on Sunday tell us about it? Because who cares about that? We don't need to hear that. We want to do it ourselves. We need to walk it out ourselves. Let's make an agreement to always be believing God for the next big thing. Okay? Did you get that? I urge you, brethren, to make it your personal goal to always be believing God for the next big thing. Why? Because it's pleasing. God is moving in your life. He's operating in your life. Be on the lookout for the next big thing. Believe God for the next big thing. Seriously, if it means going really basic and taking one thing a week to believe God for, do it. That's awesome. Maybe if you're really serious about this, take one little thing a day and believe God for it. Get up and pray, say, God, before the day is over, I'm believing you for this. Practice your faith. See, it takes practice. Be believing God for the next big thing. Be on the lookout. One thing a day, or take one thing a week. Get together, you know, all you married people, with your spouses. Say, honey, let's believe God for this. Why should we live in lack? Why should we live in pain and hard times? Let's believe God for this. Let's believe God for our children. Let's believe God for our relatives that don't know Him maybe out there. And when you come together and you believe it, and you agree upon, two people agree upon a certain thing, it'll be done. It'll be given to them. Okay? Because it's the word of God right there.